Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moed Katan Daf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur at the top line of Daf Zayin. We are continuing with the topic of trapping destructive varmints from one's field on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Misdei Ha'ilon Kedarkoi, U'Misdei HaLovon Shelo Kedarkoi, pointed out in the Mishnah that one is allowed to set up traps to catch varmints from a grove of trees, even if it involves a normal way of setting up these traps, the trap system, and we'll see how that is done later in the Gemara. But when it comes to a stay lovan, a grain field, there shelo kedarko. There only if you do it in an unusual fashion, because the amount of damage that they can wreak on in a stay lovan is much less than the amount of damage in a stay ilon. And as a result of that, so we're not so quick to allowing the preparation of traps. Therefore, only if you do it in the unusual, in the non-weekday fashion, then we'll allow setting up traps in the stay lovan. Tonu Rabbanan, Ketzad Kedarko. Well, what do you mean by setting up a trap in a normal way? Answer, Chofer Guma V'toyla Ba Metsuda. It involves digging out a pit and setting up a trap in the pit. It might be suspending a net in the pit so that when the varmint falls into the pit, so you can then, it fall into the net will close up around it, and you can extract it that way. Ketzad shelo kedarko, what is an example of setting up a trap in an unusual fashion? Noetz shpud, you would wedge in a spike, into the ground, umake bekurnes, and knock on it with a hammer, umerade hoadoma mitachtel, and by doing this you're then loosening the earth from within, from underneath. And my impression is, and then you will remove the dirt and set up the trap. But the notice how you're not digging a hole in the normal fashion. Tanya. Here we have a question of which name to the Goris over here, but we have Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kishamru Mistei Lovan Shelo Kedarko, when it was taught that you can trap from a grain field in an unusual fashion. Lo omru elo bistei lovon hasmucha le'ir. That's only with regard to a grain field near a community. Aval bistei lovon hasmucha le'sadeh ilon. But in a grain field that's near a grove of trees, afilu kedarko, even in the normal way, we will allow, will be lenient, shemo yetsu mistei alovon viachrivu es hoilonis, because if you don't trap them in the grain field, they'll then proceed into the grove of trees and destroy them. So since in that scenario the danger is imminent, so we are lenient. Umakrin es hapirza b'moed. If there was a breach in the fence of pirsa, so you can do a type of repair. Ketzad makrin. What is meant by that? Makrin. Rav Yosef Amar behutza v'dafna would be stuffing into the breach tree branches. The Rashi explains that the hutza are palm branches from date palms, and dafna is another type of growth that you stuff into this breach. Ubimasniso tono, in a Tanaic source, it's taught sor b'tsror v'eno toch betit. That would mean you can put stones one on top of the other, but without cement between them. Again, we're talking about doing these activities on Chol HaMoed, in the intermediate days of the holiday. And of course, we want to limit the amount of tircha that you are involved with during Chol HaMoed, and doing things with less tircha or in a shinui fashion, in an unusual way, because after all, it is part of the holiday, which is not a time to be involved with mundane activities. Omar Rav Chisda, lo shanu elo kosel hagina. The teaching that we've learned now, that the breach is to be filled, to be repaired in this unusual fashion, this is only with regard to the wall that surrounds a garden. Rashi says, the lekup sedi yasera iaili ba inchi. It doesn't involve a great loss if people were to enter through that breach. The Gemara continues, avol kaisel hachotzer bone kedarko. But when it comes to a wall that separates the thoroughfare from one's courtyard, then you can build it up in a normal way, because the ability of the masses to enter a courtyard invites thieves, and here you're dealing with them coming into a private property where you actually live with all of your personal possessions. There the potential loss is much greater. Before we continue, let's just a word or two about the structure of the Gemara. We will see triangles coming up now. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which we've already started. Dino shel Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda's rule. Kosel gina hu de'eino bone kedarko b'moed. He told us that a garden fence or garden wall is that which you cannot build up in the regular way during the Chol HaMoed, avol kosel chotzer bone kedarko afilu b'moed. But a courtyard wall can be built up even in the normal way on Chol HaMoed. Now, structurally, we have a mivneh structure. The triangles are featured. You'll notice they appear in two different triangles. These are shnei lishonos, two versions. A version aleph is l'sayel Rav Chisda, to support Rav Chisda. And the inverted triangle represents l'hakshos al Rav Chisda. So now, let's turn back to the Gemara. Lemo m'sayelay. Let us say the following will support Rav Chisda. Kosel Hagoychel Yishus Harabim, a wall that is leaning toward the public thoroughfare, and it indicates that it's a shaky wall, a rickety wall, posing a danger. Soser Ubone Kedarko Mitnei HaSakon, you can knock it down, rebuild it all in the normal way because of the danger that it otherwise presents. So we see here that when you're dealing with a wall of a chotzer, you can build it kedarko. The Gemara says, no, that source is not a support for Rav Chisda. Hosam kidiktoni taimo mitnei hasakona. There, the reason for the leniency of building it kedarko is the reason it's built into the source. It says because there is an imminent danger. The Rashi attempt here says, "Soisur bone kedarko dainu kosel chotzer." This is the as we explain, it's the wall of a chotzer, and we saw in this source it taught that you can do it kedarko, which would have supported Rav Chisda, and then the Gemara rejected that by pointing out that there the allowance was only because of the danger that it posed. V'ika di Amri, another version. Same source, but now in the opposite direction. Toshma, kosel hagoychel Yishus Harabim, a wall that's leaning toward the public thoroughfare. Soisur bone kedarko mitnei hasakona. You can knock it down, rebuild it in the normal way because of the danger it poses. And here we capitalize on the danger aspect. Mitnei hasakona in. Because of danger, that is why we allow this kedarko construction. Shalom et nasakon, if there was no danger posed, then loy. We wouldn't allow kedarko the normal way. Leimot heve tufte, the Rav Chisda, should we now suggest that this source actually poses a refutation of Rav Chisda? The Gemara Loch Rav Chisda will respond, Hosam Soser Ubone. There, that we make allowance for construction because of danger, what are we allowing? We're allowing the knocking down and the rebuilding. Hacha, in a case where there's merely a breach without danger, breach in a koisel chotzer, there, boine velo soser, there, all that we're allowing is the rebuilding, but we're not allowing knocking down plus rebuilding. So the sakona aspect does increase the amount of activity that we are allowing. But as far as the issue of kedarko is concerned, even without sakona, the repair of the breach will be allowed to be done kedarko. The Gemara asks, Hosam Nami, there too, in the case of Sakona, Listar Velo Livni, why not just knock it down and not rebuild it? If the whole issue there is surrounding the issue of danger, so why just not knock it down? Im Kain, the Gemara answers, if that would be the case, that we're not going to allow it to be rebuilt, Mimna Velo Soser, the owners will not, the Mimnas will be withheld, they will withhold themselves, they will not knock it down, and Mimna Velo Soser, they will, as we say, withhold themselves and not knock it down, and the danger will remain. So people, in order to motivate them to remove the danger, you also have to provide for them the option of rebuilding it instead of leaving a gaping open hole. Omar Rav Ashi, Masnisen Nami Daika. Now here we have a triangle with the point facing up. We on the Rashi on the side says, Masnisen Nami Daika Kirav Chisto Degino Eino Bone Bemoe Kedarko. So here we're trying to support that aspect of Rav Chisto that said a garden wall you cannot build up in the normal way. So the Gemara points out, the Kotani, it says, Uva Shvius, and the Shemitah year, Boine Kedarko. In the Shemitah year, you can rebuild the fence with the breach in it in a normal way. Dehecha, where? In Lema, the Chotzer. If you're talking about a courtyard wall, Tzricha Lameimar, do I have to tell you of what's wrong? What could this, that's not agricultural activity. It's obvious you'd be allowed to rebuild a chotzer wall on the Shemitah or Kedarko. Elo lav degino. Rather, the source, the Mishnah, is telling us about a garden wall. And on the Shemitah year, we're allowing that to be done. And there's a chiddush in that, and the Gemara points that out in the bracketed section that we're about to read. But what we want to do before we read that is, the Mishnah is telling us that in Shemitah alone you can build it kedarko, but not in Chol HaMoed. Now you'll say, what's the chiddush about Shemitah? The Afagav, the Gemara goes on, the Afagav, the Mechsi Kemanda Ovid Netirusa LePeri, even though it appears that you're trying to guard your fruits from their being eaten by the public, which would be counter to the rules of Shemitah, we are nevertheless allowing you to rebuild a broken wall on Shemitah Kedarko. Shema Mino. So this is conclusive that we are allowing the building of a garden wall on Chol HaMoed only Sheloi Kedarkoi. Before we continue with the new Mishnah, we have a topic heading on the side, Re'iyas Negoyim. The topic we're going to be dealing with now has to do with the viewing of Negoyim. Negoyim are, in general, has to do with a discoloration. Discoloration, this topic is featured in the Torah, in Parshas Tazria and Parshas Mitzora and Sefer Vayikra. We should point out, by the way, that this topic, as far as our Gemara is concerned, goes till Daf Ches Amud Aleph. So it's a rather long topic. It's from this Mishnah till the next Mishnah. We're dealing with, of course, things that you're allowed or not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. So in the realm of Negoyim, this is a realm that many people are not familiar with, but it involves the issue of Tumah. And when we're talking about body Negoyim, a person who's afflicted with Negoyim, because we say Negoyim can afflict body, clothing, and structures, buildings, houses. But when we're talking about body affliction, so that imposes tumah on the individual. And if the tumah, the negoyim, the skin discoloration, remains on a person and or increases in size, there is a minimum size of the skin discoloration that would constitute a nega. Once that appears and a Kohen rules upon it, the Kohen figures very centrally in this Negoyim discussion. So once he rules upon it, that will then cause the individual afflicted to be Tomei, and over the course of 2 weeks, it can be determined whether the Tuma is of a temporary nature, or it's of a temporary meaning a limited to the 2 weeks we just mentioned, or if it expands or remains on the individual, that would indicate that he is a mukhlat. Mukhlat means he's sent out of the community. He cannot have contact with practically any human beings, and until eventually the negas starts to reduce in size and optimally disappear. There is a great amount of detail to the topic of Negoyim. We're going to try to avoid confusion by getting steeped in details, but the point here is that Chol HaMoed is a time for enjoyment, for rejoicing, not a time to be sent out of the community in a type of solitary situation. I don't know if we'll say confinement, but it means you can't be amongst the community. You're sent out. As we said, it's a process, and it takes time in order to determine whether or not the individual is actually sent out completely. So we'll, as we go on in the Gemara, we'll see some of the details and the different stages involved. On the side, we have an osei, the topic heading, which we indicate goes to Chesomet Aleph, Re'iyas Negoyim, the viewing on the part of a Kohen. He is the one who has to rule upon the appearance of the nega as being the sign of tumah, of defilement, or not. Machloikas Tanoim, we will see a Tanaic controversy. Ha'im Kohen Yochel Listakel V'lishtok. Can a Kohen be brought onto the scene and look at the Nega and not rule? Or do we say that once the Kohen is viewing the Nega, he has to issue a ruling? You'll ask, so what would the advantage be of looking at it and remaining silent? So we'll see in the course of the Gemara that if the nega has appeared to have expanded in size, and he would remain silent, so then the individual will not be sentenced to the distancing, the status of mukhlat that we described before. The Mishnah, Rabbi Meir Omer, Royen es hanigoyim, lahokel, avoloi lahachmir. A Kohen is allowed to look at the Tzoras on Chol HaMoed if he is going to rule leniently, but not if he is going to but not to issue a ruling of stringency, of severity. And that would be that the Kohen, according to Rabbi Meir, can come to the client, look at client or patient, can look at this, at the nega, at the skin discoloration, and if It appears that the nega, let us say, has shrunk in size, which would indicate that he's now free of the tumah, so he can rule thusly. On the other hand, upon looking at it, that the nega, if he sees that the ruling is not going to go in the direction of leniency, but the contrary, so then he can remain silent and not issue the ruling. And as we said before, it's all dependent on the Kohen's ruling. The Chachomim Oimrim, Loi Lohokel, Velo Lahachmir. The Chachomim say, on Chol HaMoed, the Kohen is not to view the nega. Once he views it, he then has to say something. Therefore, don't view it, because by viewing it, and he notices that it increased in size, then he'll have to issue a ruling of severity. The Rashi says, Lo lahachmir shim roya hakoyin shutome, if the kohen sees that the person is defiled, that it's a nega of defilement, eino omer klum. Shim mitamoi nimso mitzaro. If he would be metamid, he then cause him pain. Mitzar b'moiv, Rahman Omar, v'somachto b'chagecha. So, the Rashi we read, we should point out, is on Rabbi Meir, who said that the Kohen can see it and remain silent. That's Eino Omer Klum. He can look at it and remain silent. The second opinion, the Chomans say, he's not to look at it in the first place, because if he does, he's going to have to issue a ruling. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Royin es hanegoyim lahokil avolo lahachmir. Kohanim can view negoyim and issue a ruling if it is going to be a favorable ruling, and remain silent if it's going to not be a favorable ruling, if it'll be a ruling of tumah. Rabbi Yosi Omer, loy lahokil velo lahachmir. He doesn't view, not neither for leniency nor for stringency. Shim ato niskak lo lahokel, niskak loy af lahachmir. Because if you have the Kohen tend to him with thinking that it will be lenient, he'll also have to issue a ruling if it turns out to be the opposite, a sign of tomb of stringency. Omar Rebbe. Rebbe comments on the earlier Tanoim that we had just now, Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yossi. Omar Rebbe, Nirin Divrei Rebbe Meir B'Muskar. Rebbe Meir says, go ahead and view, have the Kohen view it. That would apply in the case of Muskar. V'Divrei Rebbe Yossi B'Mukhlat. And Rebbe Yossi's approach, in the case of Mukhlat, Rebbe Yossi's approach was, don't look at it. Now, that itself is a little vague, and we're not explaining in it deliberately so as to let the Gemara itself lay out the details. In our introductory remarks to this section, we did mention that the appearance of Negoyim and establishing whether the person is really Tomei is something that can take place in stages. So we have to just imagine some type of whiteness develops on someone's skin, and it has a minimum size to it. Kohen is brought into the picture. Omar Rava B'Tohor, if you're dealing with a person that up till now is Tohor. And we should point out on the side the double underline in the Mivneh heading, Shlavim Shonim Shalanagua. Different stages, we're highlighting different stages of a person who's afflicted. So if you're dealing with someone that up till now has been Tohor, and it's, we'll say, a first appearance of some type of white discoloration on his skin, Kuli Amalo Pligi Dehlo Chazule, everyone will agree, even Rebbe Meir, that don't have him viewed by the Kohen. I know that we're sounding a little repetitious, but we have to emphasize this. The status of an individual is not dependent purely on the appearance of the nega, but rather it's dependent on the Kohen and what he issues, what he rules. So if if there's no Kohen, in other words, if you don't bring the Kohen into the picture, so the status quo is maintained. So that if a person up till now has been Tohor, there may be a skin discoloration on him, but that doesn't mean anything in and of itself, as long as the Kohen doesn't issue a ruling. So if a person up till now, and we're now talking about on Chol HaMoed, had been Tohor, everyone agrees that the Kohen does not enter the picture. Behesker Rishon, Kulei Ame Lo Pligi Dechozilei. Rashi says, and we should point out that the Gra on this piece of Gemara has an opposite girsa, but Rashi says, Behesker Rishon, She'im Mitaher Lei, Mesameach Lei. Now, Hesker Rishon, according to the text we have, this represents a person who had been viewed already by a Kohen. And the Kohen says, your nega needs to be under watch. So the person stays in his house for 1 week. So at the end of that first week, the Kohen then would have to come back to view the nega. Has it expanded in size, or has it shrunken, or has it remained the same size? And depending on the different situations we just mentioned, the halacha will change. So on the side, Rashi says, "Behezkerish shemitayle." If after that first week, the Kohen comes in and is mitayer him and declares, you know, your nega has shrunken in size. You are now totally free of any nega problems because it's shrunk in size. That ruling is we call mitahir. That purifies, removes any defilement issue from him. So Rashi says shemitahir le mesameach le. That will cause him joy. Again, we're talking about the viewing on Yom Tov of a person who already had been involved in Hezkerish, had been set aside, or locked in his house, or kept in his house for a week, as the halacha demands. Rashi continues, Ilo mitayale, lo mitamale yoser, midamei kora. If after the first week the nega, let us say, did not shrink in size, it remained the same size, so he has to stay in his house another week, but he's not any worse off than he was before. So that's what Rashi's telling us, that if he's not mitayer him, so he's not mitamim any more than he was at the outset. Elamaski le pam shnia. He's to remain there for one more week. So being that he's not ruining his or upsetting him any more than he was already, so everyone agrees that everyone will agree. Even Rabbi Yossi will agree, the chazi le, that the Kohen is to look at him and to determine the next step. As we said, there's everything to gain and nothing to lose. Ki pligi, we continue in the Gemara, when does the machlokas Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yossi arise? We continue at the top of Amud Beis, Behezger Sheni. This is a person, the patient, who has been kept in the house already for 2 weeks. There was the initial Hesker, and then there was the Hesker after the first week to remain a second week, and now we're at the end of the second week. Hesker Sheni, Rashi at the top says, "Di mitamale machlit le betuma chamura umitzarle." That in a case like this, if the Kohen is going to rule and say that the nega has not shrunk, he will then have to be in Mukhla. Mukhla means sent out of the community for an undetermined amount of time, because it's time-wise we don't know how long the nega will remain on him. And as long as it remains on him, he has to be out of the community, which can be a source of great pain for the individual, the pain of being in isolation. So we've reached a patient who is now been away for two. He's been kept in his house for 2 weeks, and the issue is: should the Kohen, and it's now Chol HaMoed, should the Kohen come and rule upon this? Mor Sovar, Rabbi Meir, who says, let the kohen come, and if he sees that it's the kohen, the nega has reduced in size, he can speak up and then free him from his tzoras situation. And if he sees that it has not decreased in size, so then he can remain silent. That's Rabbi Meir. More so, Rabbi Meir holds, but kohen talya milsa, it is all dependent on the kohen. And in other words, the kohen has the options in front of him. E tohor, omar le tohor. If the client or the patient is tohor by virtue of the fact that the nega, the discoloration, reduced in size, so he will then be able to declare, you are tohor, you are undefiled. The metame, the tome, and if the kohen noticed that the nega did not shrink in size, thereby resulting in him, the patient, being declared muhlat shasik, the kohen can remain silent. And we're talking again on Chol HaMoed, where by the kohen remaining silent, so there's no new status that can be imposed. More sofar, Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, who says, do not view this Hezger Sheni whatsoever. Why not? Litaroi oi litamoi ksiv. It's not as if the kohen has options. He has to speak up. Once the kohen comes in, he doesn't have the option of remaining silent. So we can't say, b'kohen talya milsa. The pasuk says, litaroi litamo. You have to come to a conclusion one way or the other. And as Rashi says, Rabbi Yossi holds sofer litaro litamo ksiv the chichosi lekayin the tome, with the kohen sees that the nega has increased in size or has may have stayed there, it hasn't been reduced. So he sees that the fellow is looking tome, lo motzi lemishtak, he can't remain silent. V'dilma v'tome v'nimtzu mitzaro shemitama b'moed. And as a result of this possibility of the nega having not reduced in size, so the kohen will be, according to Rabbi Yossi, is forced to rule. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi says the kohen should not show up in the first place on Chol HaMoed with regard to a Hezker Sheni. Omar Mar. Well, we continue with this very same sukya. At this point, the Gemara will present two Tanaic sources. One you see in a frame. The next Tanaic source doesn't really appear in the text, but all we can say about it is that it's the opposite of what we're going to read now. So, and we're going to label them as Roman numerals 1 and 2. And we'll then see how the Gemara deals with them. Omar Rebbe, Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yossi B'Muchlat. Rabbi Yossi's approach is that namely that you don't look at the Negoyim whatsoever when you're dealing with a Muchlat. And V'Divrei Rabbi Meir B'Muzgar. And Rabbi Meir's approach when you're dealing with a Muzgar. Now, we should point out again, we saw this source almost identical, just here the source is reversed from what we saw in the reverse in terms of order of names. We saw at the bottom of Zayin Amud Aleph a framed source where Rebbe said, Nirin Divrei Rabbi Meir B'Muzgar, which is what he's saying over here. It's just that in this quote, Rabbi Meir is in the second position. But whatever the case is, we saw this approach already. And now, the Ha Tanya Ibcha, but have we not learned the opposite, which means that in the case of a Muchlat, we will look at it. Rebbe says, I like Rabbi Meir's approach with regard to the Muchlat. And with regard to the Hezker, I will like Rabbi Yossi's approach and not look at it. So that's the opposite. Well, how do we deal with the fact that you have two presentations of this of the material in an opposite fashion? The Gemara says, Tanoihi Aliba de Rebbe. What we have is a Machloikis Tanoim, as to what Rebbe said. Now here it's an interesting thing. Rebbe himself was a very late, it was the end of the Tanaic period. We have here a nevertheless a Tanaic controversy from the, we'll say, the contemporaries of Rebbe, or those that were a little younger than him that presented Tanaic sources. They have a machlokas as to what Rebbe himself said. More sovar. Now, the next couple lines of Gemara, next two lines of Gemara, what we're going to have to do, the Gemara is somewhat brief. We'll learn the two lines of Gemara, but along with the Rashi. Rashi spells out everything. So let's go through first the Gemara text. Mor sovar tzafsa di alma odifle. One version has Rebbe taking the position that a person prefers to be with people. Tzafsa is together with alma, the general public. Mor sovar tzafsa di ishtoi odifle. The other approach says that a person's company with his wife and the ability to be with his wife intimately is of greater interest to him than being with the community. Well, in and of itself, it's very vague, but here Rashi spells out all of the details. So now we turn to the Rashi. Mor sovar tzafso di ishtoi odiflei. Take note of the fact that the order of the Rashis is not the order that was presented in the Gemara. So the first Rashi opens up explaining the second Mor Sovar from the Gemara text. But that shouldn't bother us. We're looking into the Svaras right now of what does it mean, and how do you apply this idea of favoring public company versus being isolated in Mukhlat, but being able to be with one's wife. The Rashi. Mor sovar tzafsa di ishto odiflei. A person prefers to be with his wife. Ulahachi chozi le b'moye b'hezker sheni. And therefore, if the person has reached hezker sheni, he's already been isolated in his, he's been, let's say, kept in his house for 2 weeks, let the Kohen come and view it. De'i mitaharo, if the Kohen declares him tohor, misamcho, that will be joyful for him. Ve'afilu mitamele umachlitle, and even if he rules that the nega hasn't contracted, and therefore has to declare him muchlot, that's okay. Machlitle, and umishadle chusmi sholosh machnas, and through being machlit him, that means we sent him out of three camps, which means the term three camps for our purposes means outside of the community. The three camps, it's the origin of that term has to do with the Beis HaMikdash located in Yerushalayim, and being sent out of three camps means out of the Beis HaMikdash area, out of the Har HaBayis, and out of the Jerusalem. Veles le tzavso de inchi d'amo, and even though he is sent out of three camps, he now lacks company of other men, of the community. Afilu hachi les le tzara. Even so, this person, in the context of Chol HaMoed, isn't going to be experiencing great loss, great pain. Deho is le tzavso de ishto, umutu bishto lis yachidim o bimei chaluto. And he has his wife with him. His wife can be with him and can actually be alone with him and all that entails. So, according to this approach, you can, because tzafsa di ishto odiflei, if the person has reached hezker sheni, so go ahead, let the Kohen view him, and whatever the Kohen says will be okay for the patient. So that was Rebbe saying, I like Rebbe Meir's approach when it comes to the Muskar. V'divrei Rabbi Yossi b'muchon. Rabbi says, and I prefer Rabbi Yossi's approach, don't bring the Kohen in the first place. B'muchon. When it comes to a person who has already been in a state of hechlet. If a person had been sent out of the three camps, and he's in a muchlet state, and the question comes up now, should the Kohen come and view the patient? If he's been muchlet, Rebbe will tell you, I prefer Rabbi Yossi's approach. Don't come and don't come to look at it. Because there's nothing to gain. Da'afilu mitahirle, even if the Kohen were to rule, you know, your nega has contracted. Da'afagav d'shorile l'machne Yisrael, even though by that ruling you're allowing him to come back into the community, is le tsara, there's a new element of pain. We didn't explain this before at all, but after the muchlat period, after he's been in the state of muchlat, and the Kohen rules, your nega has contracted, true, he comes back into the community, but he still has a week, a 7-day waiting period before he becomes fully tohar. Those are called Yemei Sfurim, the counting days, and at the end of which he brings sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash. During this time, this we'll call re-entry period, he is forbidden to be with his wife. It might sound a little ironic, being that when he was muchlat, he was allowed to be with his wife, but during the Yemei Sfurim, he's not allowed to be with his wife. During the re-entry period, there is that restriction. He's striving to achieve full-fledged Tara, and is part of that process, so he cannot be with his wife. So Rashi's explaining, the afagav d'shoy l'machn Yisrael, that even though by ruling for a muchlat that the nega has contracted, he's allowed to re-enter the community. Is late tsar the less late tsafs of the ishto the osurhu. He does have pain that he now cannot be with his wife. The kevin the mitarle mechaluto miboyle lemini sheva. Since the Kohen declared him to be free of the cholut status, he now has to count 7 days. Sheva yemei sfuro, sfiro is 7 counting days. During those 7 days, he is forbidden to engage in intimacy with his wife. And he shall dwell out of his tent for 7 days. The term olo is an alternative expression for one's wife. The pasuk says elsewhere, shuvu lochem lolechem, go back to your tents, and the intention of that pasuk really is go back to your wives. So ohalo means ishto. So that this entire approach, this in our Rashi that we've read, there's a mindset that Rebbe adopts that tzafsa di ishto odifle. The main concern of the individual, of a person, is to have the chance to be with his wife. So any in a situation where that will not be curtailed, so then check. Let the Kohen come and issue a ruling. As we said in the case of Hezker Sheni, his ability to be with his wife will not be altered, whether the ruling is a ruling of Tuma or a ruling of Tara. In the case of a person who's already muchlat, there is nothing to be gained by the Kohen ruling in that case. A ruling of Tara, even of Tara, that is not going to be favorable to the patient because he will lose the chance to be with his wife. And as far as the ruling of Tuma is concerned, he's already in the maximum level of Tuma. So there's no point in the Kohen coming to view him. So what we've done in this section of Rashi, as we've explained the opinion that says Rebbe holds a person's company with his wife is of utmost significance to the individual. We continue with Rashi now with the opposite mindset. Umor savar tzafsa di alma odifle, that a person prefers to be with the community, doesn't want to be in isolation, meaning outside the community. Hai Tana di Omar Rebbe Nirin Devri Bimeir, b'muchlat v'divrei Rabbi Yossi b'muskar, the opinion that said that Rebbe prefers Rebbe Meir's approach, that the Kohen is brought in to view it in the case of Muchlat, and Rebbe Yossi's approach in the case of the Muskar, where Rebbe Yossi's approach means don't bring the Kohen in to look at it. Why? Because this presentation of Rebbe Sovar Tzafs of the Alma Odiflei, that a person's interest in being with fellow men is of more importance to him. Ulahachi chazi bimei chaluto. And with this in mind, have the Kohen view him when he's in a state of muchlat. There's everything to gain and nothing to lose. Again, I know that was sounding repetitious, but all of this is taking place during Chol HaMoed. So if the person is in a state of muchlat, and you hold that tzafs of the Alma Odiflei, have the Kohen come and view him. You've got nothing to lose. If the ruling is one of defilement, namely the nega hasn't decreased in size, you're not making the situation any worse for him than it has been till now. And if the Kohen rules, you know, your nega has decreased in size, so you're causing joy for this person. Why? The Islay Tzafs of the Alma. He can now be together with people. Afalgav, the Osubitash Shamita, even though that ruling will now prevent him from being with his wife, Tzafs of the Alma Odif Lay. It's of greater importance for a person to have the chance to be with others. So, since Tzafs of the Alma Odif Lay, you're dealing with a Muchlot, have the Kohen come and view it. V'divrei Rabbi Yossi b'muskar, and Rebbe prefers Rabbi Yossi's approach with regard to the muskar. The muskar is the person who's already been restricted to his house for 2 weeks. The lo chazi lay. Rebbe will tell you, I like Rabbi Yossi's approach with regard to the muskar. Don't have the Kohen come to view him. Dilmo mitamale chutz l'sholosh machnas. V'les lay tzafs of the amu mitzar lay. If the Kohen comes in and he issues a ruling of Tumah, they'll be then sent out of three camps. He'll be sent out of town, out, away from all his friends, away from the people, and that will cause him tsar. So that if you're dealing with a muskar, you have nothing to gain and everything to lose. By the way, we didn't mention this, but when he's in a state of muskar, he's closed up in his house. He's not with people anyway. So if you're dealing with a patient after 2 weeks of muskar, and you bring the Kohen into the picture, you've got nothing to gain. We now turn back to the Gemara. L'meimra. The analysis that we presented till now seems to say the muchlat muter b'tasha shamita. So, are you saying that Rebbe holds that a muchlat? We emphasize here shitas Rebbe because there are other names that are going to appear shortly in the Gemara. So, we emphasize: are you then saying that according to Rebbe, a muchlat, someone who's sent out of the community, is allowed to be in intimacy with his wife? So the Gemara answers in V'hotanya, yes, in fact we have a source that has Rebbe featured in it that holds that a muchlat is allowed to be with his wife. Not everyone agrees with that, but Rebbe says thusly, and here is the source: V'yoshav michutz le'olo shivas yomim. The patient shall dwell away from his wife for 7 days. Now, the context of this pasuk, we should point out, is after the person has been in a state of muchlat. He then has, and the Kohen determined that the nega decreased in size, so now he has what we called before the re-entry period. And in that context, this pasuk appears, he shall be away from his ohel for 7 days. She osir b'tash shamita. The ain olo ishto, he's forbidden in intimacy, and that the term olo means one's wife. So when it says he shall dwell outside of his oil for 7 days, it means away from his wife for a week. Shenemar le, and how do we know that Oelo means Ishto? That the word Oel, which in simple translation would mean a tent, but how do we know it means one's wife? The pasuk says, Lech emor lohem shuvu lochem lo alechem. And without getting into the background, but that pasuk clearly means when the Almighty commands the nation of Israel after the giving of the Torah, you can now go back to your tents. It really means go back to your wives from whom you were restricted prior to the giving of the Torah. So the word ohel means one's wife. Rebbe Oimer, Shivas Yomim Yisperulo. That's the pasuk that deals with the re-entry period, the week of Yemei Sfiro, and we say Yemei Sfiro, velo Yemei Chaluto. During the 7 counting days, then he is forbidden in intimacy, but not during the Yemei Chaluto, not during the days, the period of time that he had been sent out of the community altogether. So that it's based on the fact that we have the pasuk features Yemei Sfiro, or the counting days, that's when there is a prohibition of being with one's wife, but not with regard to the Yemei Chaluto. Rabbi Yossi Yehuda Omer, he differs with Rabbi and says, Zayin Yemei Sfiro, he is during the 7 counting days, the re-entry days, he is forbidden. Kavachomer Yemei Chaluto. And all the more so when he is in total isolation, sent out of the community, isolated from other people. He then is certainly forbidden to be with his wife. That's Rabbi Yossi Yehuda. V'yomer Rabbi Chiya, Danti Lifnei Rabbi, I learned in front of Rebbe, Limadetan Rabbeinu, you taught us. Yoisam is the name of a king of the Malchi Yehuda during the first Beis Hamikdash period. Lohoyolo Luzio Elo Bime Chaluto. Yosam, the son of King Uzio. King Uzio had gained notoriety, if you will, by virtue of the fact that he had experienced a state of tsaras, and he had been sent out. He was sent off his throne and sent out of the community during a period of time that he had experienced tsaras. And Rebbe points out that Yosam, his son, was conceived during that period of time. Omar lo, Rebbe says, Af ani kach omarti. In fact, I did say that. So that Rebbe verified Rebbe Chiya's point that conception through intimacy could have very well taken place, where it did take place while King Uzziyahu was in a state of muhlat. B'mai komifligi. What is the underlying point of difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda? Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda Savar Goli Rachmona Bimei Sfiro. The Torah reveals the prohibition during those counting days after the Muchlot period. V'kol Shekein Bimei Chaluto. If the prohibition applies to Yemei Sfiro, all the more so during Yemei Chaluto, which is a more extreme time of defilement, there certainly he will be prohibited to be with his wife. Umar Savar, Rebbe, on the other hand, holds my degoli goli, that which the Torah reveals, i.e., the 7 counting days as days of prohibition. So that's what's revealed. Umay de lo goli, that which the Torah does not specify, lo goli, it's not taught, it's not revealed as being a time of prohibition. So that Rebbe takes a very, literal type approach here, not drawing any further conclusions. If the Torah says that there is prohibition of intimacy during the counting days, that is it. During those days there's prohibition, not during any other time period with regard to the Mitzora. The Gemara continues, Lameimra Debekoyin Talya Milsa. Whether your Rebbe or Rebbe Meir, or rather your Rebbe Yossi, who had an argument before regarding the involvement of the Kohen, do we get the Kohen involved
or not, but according to all opinions, the status of the mitzora is dependent on the Kohen's ruling. So are we in effect saying that? The Gemara says, in V'hotanya, yes, we are saying it, and as is taught in the following source.
Let us take a look, before we go on with this point, to on the side of the Gemara, there are no sour topic heading. Hal de'amrinan, de b'koin talya milsa, b'inyan kvias negoyim. That which we have said till now, that it's dependent on the Kohen's ruling with regard to establishing status in the context of Negoyim, Shehei Nechshav Mitzorah, that a person should be can be considered a Mitzorah, Haim Ze Mugbal L'Inyonei Mitzvah, Kegoyin, Lo L'Tamois Choson, Oy L'Fnei HaRegel, is this an issue only with regard to mitzvah-related matters? In other words, not to have a chosan, a bridegroom, become declared tomei before his wedding, or before a holiday, which would affect his ability to enjoy and celebrate the holiday in the fullest sense. Oy gam ledivrei rishus, akein yochol likboya, klomar lishtok, or do we say even in non-mitzvah related matters, the Kohen can remain silent? So we continue now with the Gemara. V'hatanya. We're saying that yes, the determination of a person's status as being mitzora, yes or no, is totally dependent on the Kohen. By the way, we should look at the Rashi as well, on the Rashi that you see under the Gemara text. L'meimer de b'koin talya milsa, porach bein l'Rabbi Meir bein l'Rabbi Yossi. We're raising this issue, whether you're holding like Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Meir omer behedya, Rabbi Meir said explicitly, itamei shasik, that if the nega appears to be one of defilement, the Kohen remain silent. For the Kohen should remain, it has the option of remaining silent. Rabbi Yossi komar ein royin klal, and Rabbi Yossi says, don't look at it at all. Don't have the Kohen look at it at all. Mechlal de Rabbi Yossi savar, so it would imply that Rabbi Yossi holds e lo boi lo chazi lei the lo havei tomei, that if the Kohen should so desire, he doesn't look at it, and thereby keeping him away from Tuma. So that it's all dependent whether you're holding like Rabbi Meir, where the Kohen can actually see it and has the option of remaining silent, or you're holding like Rabbi Yossi, where the Kohen isn't obligated to enter the picture in the first place. It's, again, there's an element of choice on the part of the Kohen. So are we in effect saying that? So the Gemara says, yes, we are, as the source reveals, Uviyom Heirois Boi. That's a posuk in the context of Negoyim. Yesh Yoim Shata Royaboi, V'yesh Yoim Shiata Royabo. From this posuk, we see there's room for making a distinction. The posuk says, and on the day that you do see it, implying that there are days that you view it, and there are days you don't view the Nega. Mikan Omru. From here, the Chazal say, Choson Shinoed Boinega, a bridegroom that a nega developed on him. Noistem lo Shiva Yemei Hamishte, Loi Ulebeso Luxuso. We give him a 7-day grace period that affects him. And it affects his clothing. That means if his bridegroom suit had developed a discoloration on it, a nega discoloration, and likewise v'chein b'regel noistim lo shivas yemei regel. Likewise, with regard to a holiday, and someone developed a discoloration, we give him 7 days. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's approach, where we don't get involved. We allow the person to enjoy his period of simcha without any nega rulings. Rebbe Oimer, Eino Tzorech. He doesn't need that pasuk of Uviyom Heira Ospo to come to this conclusion, but rather Harehu Omer, the pasuk says in the context of house Negoyim, Tumas Batim, it says, V'tzivo HaKohen Ufinu Esabayis. The Kohen, before coming in to rule on the discoloration found on the walls of the house, the Kohen commands and instructs people to take out of the house its contents, the vessels, utensils, articles in your house, because if the house is determined to be with a nega, so then all of the house contents become defiled. And when it comes to things like pottery, for example, there's no way to metire them. They'll have to be destroyed. So the Kohen issues an order that before I come to check out the nega, clear out all the contents of the house. Im mamtinin loy ledvar rashus, if we allow a delay for the purpose of saving the vessels, which is a matter of something that's optional, there's no issue of commandments per se, mitzvos that are related to this, it's just a question of a person preserving his property. So if we allow delay for optional matters, kol shekein ledvar mitzvah, all the more so we would allow waiting for matters that are mitzvah related. So that according to Rebbe, he sees that which Rebbe Yehuda saw in one pasuk, from the inference from that pasuk, Rebbe sees this idea through logic based on another pasuk. My binayu, what is a point of difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda? Omar Abai says there's no real difference. Mashmois dorshim iko binayu. It's the only difference is from where does each one see their respective points. But on a practical halachic basis, there's no difference between them. The Rava Omar devar horoshus iko binayu. We look at Rashi, devar horoshus iko binayu. Rebbe Yehuda demapik mibiyom herois boy. Rebbe Yehuda, who learned from that pasuk, umikan amru chosun v'regel, and from that pasuk, he came to the conclusion that when it comes to a bridegroom or the holiday, the hainu mitzvah, mamtinin lo. When it comes to mitzvah-related matter, so we wait before the Kohen rules on it. Aval l'dvar rishus ein mamtinin lo b'tumah d'gufei, but when it comes to optional matters, and the issue is not of one's vessels, but rather one's body, so we don't wait. The Kohen doesn't wait, and he comes and issues a ruling if you're not affecting something that's mitzvah related. For Rebbe Savar, Rebbe on the other hand holds, the bedvar rishus nami mamtinen lo, can I mean the el? That even for matters that are not mitzvah related, we can wait. As we said before, the Rebbe Yolov Tuma de Gufei Lahamtin Lo Mituma de Beso. Rebbe is willing to learn body related Tuma matters from Tuma de Beso, from house matters. So just like in house matters, there the delay was a matter of something of an optional nature, so too with regard to body tuma considerations, the Kohen has the option of not getting involved. In other words, to delay his viewing. The Gemara continues. V'Rebbe Yehuda mehosam lo gamrinon. Rebbe Yehuda will tell you that the pasuk of Rebbe, which had to do with house tuma, cannot be a source for other areas of negoyim, as is the case with body tuma. the chidushu. The case of house tumah represents something of a novel nature, and that which is of a novel nature, something which is unusual, it's a chidush, it's something new, it's unprecedented, it cannot serve as a precedent for other matters. That's a concept you find from time to time in the Shas. Rashi quotes the term mechidush lo yalfin. We don't learn from things that are novel. We continue at the top of Daf Ches. What's novel about house tumah that it, as a result, cannot serve as a precedent? In general, in all other areas of tumah, wood and stones do not become tomei. V'hocha, in the case of nigei batim, what's a house? A house, after all, is made of wood and stones. And here they are subject to tumah. So it's an unusual area of halacha. So Rebbe Yehuda will tell you, the Torah, in fact, does allow a Kohen option when it comes to matters of option, non-mitzvah related matters. That's only there in the case of preserving one's vessels. But when it comes to body tumah, so there is no option for delaying the viewing of the patient. The Rebbe Omar. Rebbe says that even though I learn body tumah from house tumah. Rebbe, don't forget, quoted the pasuk of house tumah. Nevertheless, the pasuk that Rebbe Yehuda had quoted of Yom HaRa'ospo is still necessary as well. And that's what the Gemara explains here, how Rebbe needs both psukim. De'i kosav rachmona uva yom hera oizboi, had the Torah written just the pasuk that Rebbe Yehuda had quoted, which had to do with the body tumah that affects one's flesh, hava amina, I would have thought, l'dvar mitzvahin l'dvar rishus lo, that only for mitzvah-related matters can there be a delay in viewing, but for matters of option, there cannot be any delay. Kosav rachmona v'tziva hakayin. Therefore, the Torah had to write the pasuk concerning house-related tumah, from which we learned that for matters that are optional as well, there can be delay on the part of the Kohen of coming to view the matter. The Ikos of Rachmona Vetziva HaKohen, had the Torah written only that pasuk, Hava Amina Hani In, Delav Tuma Degufe, that here the Kohen makes the decision, because it's not a case of Tuma Degufe, the Kohen can decide whether to view it or not. Avol tumah degufe emo mechzeh chazilei. But when it comes to body discoloration, the Kohen has to come. He doesn't have the option of delaying. Tzricha, therefore, I need the pasuk of yom hera'ois boi to tell me that even in matters of tumah degufe, we say the same thing, that there is the option of delay there as well. Omar Mar, Yesh Yom Shata Royabo, Yesh Yom Shiata Royabo. This was a quote that you can see. We have an arrow here indicating to go back to Zion with Beis if you want to see where this quote is coming from. We said there, in that source, there are days that the nega is viewed, and there are days that it is not viewed. My mashma, how do you see this point that there is a difference between some types of days versus other types of days? How do you see that in this pasuk? The source on Amud Aleph had opened up with the pasuk uvayom heraois boi. Omar Abaye.
So Abaye explains, we have here diamonds that highlight the names Abaye and Rava, who both address this issue of how do you see the distinction between days from the pasuk. So Abaye says, "Im kein lichtoif rachmana biyom." If the pasuk did not have that intention, it would have written just the word biyom, I uvayom. There's a vav added to the word. So the addition of that vav tells me shmamino yesh yom shata roya bo v'yesh yom shata roya boy. The addition of the vav tells me, clues me into this distinction that there are days that the Kohen must view it, and there are other days that the Kohen can delay in viewing it. Rav Omar, kula kra, kra usually means posuk, but here it means the entire word. Yaseirahu, the word uvayom, he doesn't focus on the vav, but he says the word is extra. Dimkein lichtei brachmana uveheirois. My uvayom. If the pasuk was simply describing the Kohen coming to view it, you wouldn't have had to include the word uvayom in the pasuk. Shmamina, from the presence of this extra word, we learn yesh yom shata roya bo v'yesh yom shi'ata roya bo. There are days that the Kohen views it, and other days the Kohen is not to view it. And as we saw, those would be a chosan or the regel. Those are days we don't want to upset the person's simcha. Ve'abaye. Now, what does Abaye say about that word? He didn't say the whole word is for this teaching. He saw the vav as being extra. So Abaye explains, Hahu mi boyale, I need the basic word of bayom to tell me bayom velo balayla, that the checking of negoyim is to be done during daytime sun, when there is sunlight, not at night. The Rava, b'yom v'lalayla v'nole, well, where does Rava learn that halacha, that the viewing of negoyim is to take place by day and not by night? Nafgale, he learns it from milachol mara enei hakayin, that the nega is in accordance with that which the Kohen sees. And when can he see? He sees by day, not at night. Ve'abaye, well, here you have an exclusion of night from this pasuk. What does Abaye say about that? After all, Abaye learned the exclusion of night from the word bayom. So Abaye says, "Hahu, this pasuk of Cholmar Nikoyin, Meboyale Limute, it's needed for a different purpose. It's needed to exclude Suma B'achas Meinov, a Kohen who is blind in one eye." The pasuk says, "Einei HaKohen," which would indicate the in the plural. He has to have both eyes available, or with the ability of sight. Hence, L'chol Mara Einei HaKohen will exclude Asuma Bachas Meinov. The Rava Nami Miboyalei Lachi, doesn't Rava need the Pasuk for that to exclude a Kohen who's blind in one eye? It's not available for excluding nighttime. So the Gemara says, "In Hochinami, yes, you are right that L'chol Marina Koyin is needed to exclude Chsumachas Meinov. V'yalo v'yoyim v'lo b'layla menoleh." So then, where will Rava learn the exclusion of the nighttime, that one does not view Negoyim at night? Answer: Nafgalei mikinega nira li babayas li v'lo l'ori. The pasuk says that there a nega appeared to me. In other words, that I saw it with my own abilities to see, and not with the aid of light. V'lo l'ori. So that, when is that? When can a person make such a declaration that it appears to me in an unaided fashion that there's a nega? That's obviously by daytime, not at night. V'abaye, what is his response to that? Because here we have the pasuk that this pasuk should exclude nighttime. Abaye, don't forget, he excluded nighttime from the word bayom. Abaye, he says, "Ime hosam, had I had just that source, hafe amino hanimini tuma delav de gufe." The pasuk was speaking there about tumas batim, so I would have thought that is a reference to only to that kind of tuma of negoyim of houses.
that we are going to exclude the night. Avol tuma degufe, when it comes to body tuma, afilu lioro nami.
I would have thought that even if it requires bringing some artificial light, a candle, for the kohen to view the nega, that would be acceptable.
Komash malon, therefore I need the pasuk of uvayom to exclude nighttime viewing of body tzaras as well. And as the Rashi says, Komash malon, right before his Mishnah commentary, he says, Ubiyom heirois boi. The boi, the word bo, hainu tuma de gufe.
That's a reference to body tuma. So that in order to exclude nighttime as a time of viewing tuma, I need two psukim, one to exclude house viewing at night, house tuma viewing at night, and one to exclude body discoloration viewing at night.
Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.